Book 2, Octavo, Chapter 2, Blackfish. I give the popular fishermen's names for all these fish, for generally they are the best. When any name happens to be vague or inexpressive, I shall say so and suggest another. I do so now, touching the blackfish, so-called because blackness is the rule among almost all whales. So call him the hyena whale, if you please. His voracity is well known, and from the circumstance that the inner angles of his lips are curved upwards, he carries an everlasting Mephistophelian grin on his face. The whale averages some 16 or 18 feet in length. He is found in almost all latitudes. He has a peculiar way of showing his dorsal hooked fin in swimming, which looks something like a Roman nose. When not more profitably employed, the sperm whale hunters sometimes capture the hyena whale to keep up the supply of cheap oil for domestic employment, as some frugal housekeepers, in the absence of company and quite alone by themselves, burn unsavory tallow instead of odorous wax. Though their blubber is very thin, some of these whales will yield you upwards of 30 gallons of oil. Book 2, Octavo, Chapter 3, Narwhale. That is, Nostril Whale. Another instance of a curiously named whale, so named, I suppose, from his peculiar horn, being originally mistaken for a peaked nose. The creature is some 16 feet in length, while its horn averages 5 feet, though some exceed 10 and even attain to 15 feet. Strictly speaking, this horn is but a lengthened tusk, growing out from the jaw in a line a little depressed from the horizontal. But it is only found on the sinister side, which has an ill effect, giving its owner something analogous to the aspect of a clumsy left-handed man. What precise purpose this ivory horn or lance answers, it would be hard to say. It does not seem to be used like the blade of the swordfish and billfish, though some sailors tell me that the narwhale employs it for a rake in turning over the bottom of the sea for food. Charlie Coffin said it was used for an ice piercer, for the narwhale, rising to the surface of the polar sea and finding it sheeted with ice, thrusts his horn up and so breaks through. But you cannot prove either of these surmises to be correct. My own opinion is that however this one-sided horn may really be used by the narwhale, however that may be, it would certainly be very convenient to him for a folder in reading pamphlets. The narwhale I have heard called the tusked whale, the horned whale, and the unicorn whale. He is certainly a curious example of the unicornism to be found in almost every kingdom of animated nature. From certain cloistered old authors I have gathered that this same sea unicorn's horn was in ancient days regarded as the great antidote against poison, and as such preparations of it brought immense prices. It was also distilled to a volatile salts for fainting ladies, the same way that the horns of the male deer are manufactured into hartshorn. Originally, it was in itself accounted an object of great curiosity. Black Letter tells me that Sir Martin Frobisher, on his return from that voyage, when Queen Bess did gallantly wave her jeweled hand to him from a window of Greenwich Palace as his bold ship sailed down the Thames, "When Sir Martin returned from that voyage," saith Blackletter, "on bended knees he presented to Her Highness a prodigious long horn of the narwhale, which for a long period after hung in the castle at Windsor." An Irish author avers that the Earl of Leicester, on bended knees, did likewise present to Her Highness another horn pertaining to a land beast of the unicorn nature. The narwhale has a very picturesque leopard-like look, being of a milk-white ground color dotted with round and oblong spots of black. His oil is very superior, clear and fine, but there is little of it, and he is seldom hunted. He is mostly found in the circumpolar seas. Book 2, Octavo, Chapter 4, Killer. Of this whale, little is precisely known to the Nantucketer and nothing at all to the professed naturalist. From what I have seen of him at a distance, I should say that he was about the bigness of a grampus. He is very savage, a sort of Fiji fish. He sometimes takes the great folio whales by the lip and hangs there like a leech till the mighty brute is worried to death. The killer is never hunted. I never heard what sort of oil he has. Exception might be taken to the name bestowed upon this whale on the ground of its indistinctness, for we are all killers on land and on sea, Bonapartes and sharks included. Book 2, Octavo, Chapter 5, Thrasher. This gentleman is famous for his tail, which he uses for a ferule in thrashing his foes. He mounts the folio whale's back, and as he swims he works his passage by flogging him, as some schoolmasters get along in the world by a similar process. Still less is known of the Thrasher than of the Killer. Both are outlaws, even in the lawless seas. Thus ends Book 2, Octavo, and begins Book 3, Duodecimo.